Now on to Rinaldo. I have to admit that I found the whole idea of doing an opera that depicts a violent confrontation between Christians and Muslims to be absolutely hair-raising. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. But then I started studying, and I realized pretty quickly that there's very little that's either Christian or Muslim or historical about this opera. This thing's a fairy tale, if there ever was one, and the setting of the First Crusade is basically just a disposable convenience used to set the events of the opera in motion. Once things do get going, all we see are magic and sorcery, and the only gods mentioned are all figures from Greek and Roman mythology. And the plot isn't really even about a war, it's about a kidnapping. The opera opens on the command post of the Christian army, right outside the gates of Jerusalem. Goffredo, the Christian general, is attended by his daughter Almirena, his brother and right-hand man, Eustacio, and his greatest warrior and hero, Rinaldo. They're camped right outside the gates of Jerusalem. They fought long and hard to get where they are, and now they've almost achieved their goal of conquering the holy city. All they have to do now is win the final battle against the Saracens, and that's practically a done deal already. With the opera's first aria, Goffredo reiterates the price of glory and the hardships they've endured. His text is metaphorical. The Temple of Glory is built on sharp and rocky cliffs. It's not a place you go for fun. To our ears, this aria has a kind of jaunty feel to it. A lot of the time, in Baroque music, the composer tries to turn the melody and accompaniment into a musical description of whatever the text is about. In this case, it's rocky crags and cliffs, so Handel wrote music that sounds a little like it's struggling to negotiate a jagged landscape. There's also a nice example of another thing that you hear a lot in Baroque vocal music, the messa di voce. It means playing the voice, and it's an expressive technique for shaping a long, single-held note, usually with a gradual crescendo and then a decrescendo. It was a cool way of making a beautiful musical phrase out of a single pitch, and doing it well was the mark of a great virtuoso. Finally, remember that the Baroque ideal for a heroic voice was in the alto or soprano register, and preferably a castrato. Though, in the premiere of Rinaldo, Goffredo was sung by a woman. In this recording, it is too, mezzo-soprano Bernarda Fink. Rinaldo attributes their impending victory to the combination of Goffredo's strategies and his own bravery on the battlefield. The Saracens have practically given up already, and the walls of Jerusalem are ready to fall at the mere mention of Goffredo's name. But what Rinaldo really has on his mind is marrying Goffredo's beautiful daughter, Almirena, and the sooner the better. Goffredo tries to cool Rinaldo's jets by reminding him that he'd do better to keep his mind off of his daughter and stay focused on combat. Love has been many a hero's downfall. He can marry Almirena, but only after the victory. And in the second aria of the opera, Almirena cheers Rinaldo on. If he fights with courage, soon enough she'll give him all the happiness he's longing for. One of the things that makes Handel a standout is his imaginative use of solo instruments in the orchestra. In Almirena's aria, the solo oboe is really prominent. Hear it playing the melody with the orchestra and harmony along with the voice. Sometimes the voice and the oboe even answer back and forth. And there's a great example of something else that's a standard thing in Baroque vocal music, melismas. Most of the time, an aria goes along with only one or two notes for each syllable of text, just like in normal modern song style. But every now and then, one syllable gets stretched out over a long, drawn-out string of notes. That's a melisma, and you just don't hear those much outside of the opera house. Here's mezzo-soprano Cecilia Bartoli.
Piacerti prepara, contenti d'ognore. Combatti da forte, combatti. Che fermo il mio seno, piacerti prepara, contenti d'ognore. Contenti d'ognore.
But Rinaldo can't stop thinking about love. And in his first aria, he complains about how hard it is to wait. The mood is bittersweet, and the text includes a pretty brilliant summation of how love can feel. It's the lashing of fear and the jesting of hope. And Handel conveys that feeling in the wandering, unsettled-sounding accompaniment. Here's our hero, originally a castrato, sung here by countertenor David Daniels. A herald comes out of the besieged city and asks Goffredo if he will let the king of Jerusalem come and talk to him. Goffredo guarantees the Saracen king's safety. Now, Eustazio, Goffredo's brother, has his first aria. He expounds that hope spins on the wheel of fortune and that the root of our greatest virtues is constancy. And I think by constancy here, he means perseverance, as well as faithfulness. Notice how different the orchestration is here. The accompaniment is just two instruments, a harpsichord and a solo cello. That's it. It's very intimate. Eustazio is another castrato role sung in our recording by countertenor Daniel Taylor.
What?
Now Argante, the Saracen king of Jerusalem, makes his grand entrance in a chariot drawn by two white horses, accompanied by a huge entourage. He sings an aria borrowed from an oratorio Handel had written a couple of years earlier in Italy about the Cyclops Polyphemus. Handel borrowed music all the time. Everybody did back then. In those days, familiar melodies would pop up in unexpected places, like old friends you bump into at the airport. But back to Argante's entrance aria. Argante says that he hears the serpents of Alecto hissing all around him, and the bark of hungry Scylla. A little mythology here. Alecto is one of the Furies, and the Furies have snakes for hair, hence the hissing serpents. Scylla was a huge, horrific monster who, among many other atrocities, ate some of Odysseus's crewmen in the Odyssey. So why would an 11th century Muslim be singing about Alecto and Scylla? Well, like I said before, almost all the religious references in this opera are to Greek and Roman mythology rather than Christianity or Islam. At least we can tell that Argante knows he's in trouble, which he certainly is. This aria works wonderfully because the musical style is just perfect for the character. It's full of bluster and bombast and noise, and it's got great parts for all the trumpets Handel added to the score to give it that extra bit of pageantry he wanted for his new London audience. Just for sheer Baroque exuberance, this aria gets my vote for the most fun music of the opera. Here's bass baritone Gerald Finley. Argante has come to ask Goffredo for a 3-day ceasefire, and their conversation is a masterpiece of diplomacy and pomposity. Argante starts out by reminding Goffredo that good fortune can always change, and that a short truce would be a chance for both sides to regroup. To clinch his argument, he says that since Goffredo currently has the advantage, he owes him one since he's such an honored foe. Goffredo brilliantly parries point for point. Since his cause is the just one, he's not afraid of bad fortune, and he'll gladly grant clemency because it might teach Argante a thing or two about honor and the greatness of a noble soul. So far, we've just been listening to arias, the songs. Italian operas of this period were basically just a long string of them, with a few duets and choruses thrown in. But that's not all the music. There had to be music to connect all those hits together, and that's what recitative was for. Recitative is still singing, but it's much less song-like and musical than aria. Melodically and rhythmically, it just kind of wanders around aimlessly. Vocally, it's usually much simpler. Not a wide range of pitches, no melismas, no messa di voce, no ornamentation. And most of the time, the accompaniment is very sparse. Instead of the whole orchestra, it's usually just two instruments, one that can play chords and one that can play a bass line. In most cases, it's a harpsichord and a cello. Recitative is really important for moving the plot. Arias are reflective and expressive. They're usually about how a character is feeling. I'm so sad, or I'm so in love, or life is just a bowl of cherries. Recitative is where the conversation and the action take place. It's dialogue, but because it's opera, it's sung. So, getting back to our story, the conversation between Argante and Goffredo is a recitative. Hear what I mean.
Goffredo, se t'arrise sin qui fortuna, ella incostante sempre può ben cangiar sue tempre. E se saggio tu sei, ascolta i detti miei. Per ristorare in parte i scambievoli oltraggi, chiedo che si sospenda sol per tre giorni il marzial furore. Tanto deve a tuo pro, tanto al mio onore.
Chi su base del giusto appoggia le imprese, non teme della sorte i crudi eventi. Tu con superbi accenti grazie richiedi, eppur ti fia concesse che l'unanima grande leggerà e con rossor i pregi in esse.
Once everything's settled, Argante ends up on stage all by himself, and he muses about the uncertainties of war. His lover, Armida, is a sorceress, and she's gone to read the omens and predict the outcome of the battle. In a darkly beautiful aria, that's vastly different in mood from his first one, Argante calls for her to return and console him. Notice how Handel has the whole string section of the orchestra playing in unison octaves for most of the accompaniment. It's kind of foreboding, but once you meet Armida, you'll understand why.
Consolarmi con un sguardo tuo seren, vieni, o cara, consolarmi con un sguardo tuo seren, vieni, o cara.
Well, the sorceress Armida is some girlfriend. She makes one of the most spectacular entrances in any opera ever. Singing her first aria, she flies in, driving a chariot drawn by two bellowing, fire-breathing dragons. In the introduction, you can hear her flying over hill and dale in the orchestra, and just before the end of this excerpt, she sings a few octave leaps. In the 18th century, octave leaps like that were a musical high sign for sorcery. Here's soprano Luba Organosova. Say that Argante's only hope of winning the war is if Rinaldo is out of the picture. But Armida has a plan. Now the scene changes, and Rinaldo's beloved Almirena sings an aria in a beautiful garden with burbling fountains and birds singing and flying around. In the original production, they released real live sparrows and finches into the theater for this scene, which would have been a nice touch if it hadn't been for the droppings. We know from a critic's report that a fair number of people in the audience got hit. To make it even more realistic, if that were possible, Handel added a pair of recorders here and a tiny instrument called a flageoletto, basically a sopranino recorder, which back in those days people used to play to teach their pet birds to sing melodies. The flageoletto is really the star of this aria. It tootles away like a little bird all the way through and has a big, long solo at the end. Almirena is asking the birds and the breezes where her love could be. We'll start pretty close to the end so you can hear the flageoletto solo. In this recording, you'll also hear some real bird song that was engineered in. Now, so far, I've only been playing the first section of each aria, but most Baroque arias follow a distinct three-part formula. They start with a section that treats about the first half of the text, which a lot of the time is only a single sentence repeated several times, and there's also plenty of repetition of individual words within that sentence. So, it can take a long time to get through a single line of text in a Baroque opera. It can take a long, 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 long time to get through a single line, a line, a line, a line of text in a Baroque opera. In a Baroque, in a Baroque, in a Baroque opera, if you get my drift. Anyway, call that first section the A section. Then there's a contrasting section that covers the rest of the text. A lot of the time, it's just a different melody than the A section, but sometimes it's in a completely different mood, too. There can be a change in tempo, key, meter, volume, whatever, or all of the above. That's the B section. Then, at the end of the B section, the composer writes two words, da capo, which is Italian for back to the top. So you go back to the beginning and get the A section again. But here's the cool part. When you go back and repeat the A section, you're allowed to improvise. Now, you can't get too crazy and take it out like you're John Coltrane or something, but you can add extra notes and trills and other ornamentation to make the second time through more musically elaborate and show off your technique. So for this next example, let's listen to the whole ABA or da capo form. Rinaldo has come to the garden in answer to Almirena's birdie aria, and they sing a love duet. In the A section, you can sure tell how happy they are together. You'll know when the B section starts because it's much slower and more serious sounding. They must be staring into each other's eyes at that point. It's so idyllic. How could anything bad happen? Well, down swoops Armida to kidnap Almirena. She conjures a stage effect that must have been quite a trick to pull off. A huge black cloud full of horrible bellowing monsters shooting flames and smoke is supposed to come down and carry Almirena off, leaving behind two furies who mock Rinaldo and then sink into the ground. Alone in the wreckage of the garden, Rinaldo is totally shattered, and he sings Cara Sposa, the devastatingly beautiful aria that you heard at the very beginning of this commentary. Its A and B sections have a lot of contrast. He starts out mourning in the long and slow A section. Then for the very short and fast B section, he's angry and ready to take on the world. Then he returns to mourning in the da capo. It shows the two sides of Rinaldo's personality brilliantly. He's absolutely, totally in love with Almirena. And when she's suddenly taken away from him, his world is destroyed. Yet he's also a courageous warrior, and that certainly comes out in the B section. Rinaldo can barely bring himself to tell Goffredo and Eustazio what's happened. And then he sings another lament. This one also has vastly contrasting sections, the first again devastated, the second furious. In the angry B section, Handel gave him these long, incredibly fast and florid melismas to express his agitated state of mind. This kind of thing is a standard Baroque stylistic formula for depicting highly charged emotional states, like extreme anger, confusion, determination, or even joy and relief. Notice how the accompaniment in this one is totally different from the rich, full orchestra of Cara Sposa. It's very sparse and transparent, just a harpsichord and solo cello, which gives it a very different effect. Its phrases are also all broken up, another contrast to the long, sustained phrases of Cara Sposa. What's happening here is that Handel is exploring a different kind of despair from the utter desolation of the earlier lament. He's kind of giving us a musical tour of the various stages of grief. For now, we'll just hear from the beginning through the B section and fade out right after the da capo.
Se stupido ma sempre ti risvegli il mio furor e risvegli ti risvegli il mio furor ma se stupido ma sempre ti risvegli risvegli il mio furor risvegli
Suddenly, Eustazio takes the initiative and hatches a plan. It turns out that he knows of a powerful Christian sorcerer who should be able to help them rescue Almirena. This helps Rinaldo pull himself together, and being the hero he is, he's ready for action. He's also ready to sing yet another aria, his third one this scene, and the rousing finale of Act One. He asks the winds to give their wings to his feet, and the gods in the heavens to strengthen his arm against his enemies. You can hear in the music that he's got his groove back, and he's most definitely in a highly charged emotional state. Notice, too, Handel's use of solo violin here, and especially his clever use of solo bassoon in combination with the violin and with the voice.
Venti turbini prestate. Turbini, restate, le vostre mani a questo piede, le vostre. Venti, turbini, restate, le vostre mani a questo piede.